He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, everybody, throw on the Lonsdale, turn up the chisel, wax your mustache. I got my friend from across the pond, Tom Morris, here tonight. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Cody.
All right, let's start it like we always do. Tell me about the first time you saw someone bend a piece of steel.
Okay, so it was probably a little over a year ago now. Watching a stainless steel documentary.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it must have just come up as a suggested of the other things that I was watching. And I watched that and was immediately sort of, I saw there's a scene and he's asking for his grippers. And he's like, where's my gripper? Where's my gripper? And after watching, I was like, I know I've got a gripper somewhere. And my dad had bestowed down to me an old gripper. Uh-huh. The old plastic style, like quite easy one. Right. So I dug that out after watching it and then grabbed myself some more grippers after that. But sorry. The first time I saw steel bending was stainless steel.
That's awesome. That's a cool intro, actually, because I've recommended that movie to so many non-steel benders because I feel like the whole vibe and tone of that film is just wild, and I think even if I wasn't interested in this stuff, I just would have been interested in that film because the whole tone of it is like this weird like noir documentary, you know. It's pretty cool. I definitely recommend it to anyone outside of steel bending or strength stuff in general. So was that just came up as like a suggested watch on Amazon or something?
Yeah, I think so. It must have done. I mean, I've got a habit of, I do like to watch documentaries and stuff like that. And I know it wasn't from watching Pulling John, because I watched Pulling John after watching Stainless Steel, but
me too.
it must have been something along those lines. It just sort of popped up and I looked at it and thought, oh, what's this? This looks good. So yeah, just popped it on. And I'm pretty sure I have vague memories of World's Strongest Man, and maybe around 5 years ago, I did go through and sit and watch most of them, like a lot of the earlier stuff I watched through. So I do remember some of the steel bending they did there, but I mean, that it sort of just went in my head and out, you know, in one ear and out the other, really. I didn't take an interest in it when I was watching it for like Jean-Paul Sigmundsson and stuff like that. I wasn't really watching it for the steel bending.
Right on. Did you watch the other one that's on streaming with Chris Wondershek, the Bending Steel?
Bending Steel, yeah. I think I watched that maybe a few months after. I think maybe it was mentioned. I can't remember now. I think maybe somebody, I forget, but I think somebody recommended that film to me, actually, and I looked it up and watched it. Yeah, and that's pretty impressive too. It's really inspiring.
That's a good one. And former guest and fellow New Yorker Steve Weiner is in that one for a few scenes, which is cool, at the old time dinner and stuff they would do years ago. But all right, so you watched the documentary and you hadn't bent anything yet then, right?
No, that's correct.
Crazy. So what was the first thing you sought out to bend? Did you just go out to the toolkit and just find a bolt, wrap it up and wash it?
Well, I dragged the gripper out and I thought, well, whilst I'm sat on the couch, like during Corona and stuff, I'll just work on my grip strength.
Yeah.
And that gripper proved to be quite easy.
Yeah.
So I went online and started looking for grippers to buy, and I bought a set of grippers, and then sort of must have stumbled across Grip Sport. I don't know if you're familiar with Jerome and Paul Bloom,
yes.
Two brothers in the UK. Yeah, extremely good grippers. And I'd found Jerome's page and I was just sort of like what is all of this that's going on, sort of doing all this crazy grip stuff. And I think I shot him a message and I said, where do you buy all of this stuff? Like, where, you know, where do I find these sort of these grip implements and stuff? And he pointed me towards David Horn's World of Grip website.
That's good.
And I was scrolling through, and I saw the introductory steel bending bundle that David supplies. And I was like, okay. So the grip stuff sort of went out the window at that point, and I just sort of thought, that looks really cool. And I ordered that, and that's basically where... Sorry, dog's whining. Yeah, that's basically where I started with that bundle.
And what comes in the horn starter kit? I don't actually know.
Oh, I can show you. I just quickly
so start
Instagram.
Like
it's an 88k shiny nail, 100k like a dull, like a galvanized nail.
Yeah, I got you.
A 121k spiral. Okay. And I think with this there's maybe six oval, like the tiny oval ones.
Yeah.
48k and a 76k mid-length bar, a hot rolled.
Oh, all right, cool.
Yeah, so
it's a little bit more diverse, because people over here pretty much they seem to just get the bag of nails from Iron Mind, which is just all, you know, 6 or 5 to 7 inch length stuff of assorted diameters. Devin Eat Chalk Get Big is doing better starting kits, so if anyone wants to start out, just hit Devin up on Instagram and get a starting kit from him. Also, while I'm thinking about it, everybody should go check out Harito Bending and use promo code CHEERS. I've been slacking and not mentioning that in every episode, and I think some people may have ordered and not used it. So please use the promo code CHEERS, which supports Harito and supports the show. And obviously, everybody knows Harito's on top, best roster around, every single style, snapping included. So get on it. You're on there, Tom, right?
Yeah, I think I'm on that. Yeah, he just accepted my 4.8 reverse.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. What you were on there for brace bending as well?
Yeah, I think I'm really not happy with the video because it took me ages, but I did the 8.8.
Nice. Yeah. And soon the cut down 10.9, maybe?
I'm hoping so, yeah. I tried to replicate that the other day and I couldn't get it to 20 degrees. So I don't know, you know, all sorts of things starts to come into your head. I'm starting to think, is it my thick steel toe cap boots I wear at work, which mm-hmm. enabled me to get the traction, because I tried it barefooted at home a week ago now in it, and I couldn't really get much of a bend in it, but maybe I was tired. I'm not sure, but hopefully right. Soon.
I want to get deeper into the heavy brace bend stuff, short brace bend, but let's go back to how that first kit went from David. Were you able to bend some stuff right off the bat?
Yeah, I did. I think I remember doing all of it except for the spiral, and the spiral took me months. From memory, I think it was roughly around about 3 months. I was trying to brace bend it and I couldn't bend it. Or I believed I couldn't bend it. Yeah. And I put an order in again. And I was going through Elizabeth Horn for the order. And I told her, I said, I can't brace bend the spiral. And she said, it's a genuine impediment to believe you can't bend it. Yeah. And that has always stuck with me afterwards. And I really appreciated that, because it sort of, I stuck with it. And I think maybe a week or two after she'd said that, I brace bent it, so I was quite happy with that.
So was the whole starter kit, you were bracing all of these to start, or
no? I think from memory, I can't quite remember. I think the 88k I managed to reverse, and I bent and snapped the hot rolled, but I can't quite remember what I did with the two smaller nails, the 88 and the 100k.
Gotcha.
I want to say a reverse one, because I think I've got a video on my phone of my first reverse, and it took me roughly about a minute to get the 40 degrees. So yeah, I think that was the 8.8K, I believe.
The verse is a hard style.
Yeah.
So you said you were researching grip strength during the pandemic. What was the motivator to improve your grip? Just something for fun, or like, have you always been interested in like strength to some degree?
Yeah, I think I've always been interested in strength. I wouldn't necessarily say I was looking to improve my grip. I think it was just more or less just looking for something to do, really. And watching that, like I said, watching that documentary, I thought I was quite inspired by that. And I thought, you know, it would be good to get some more grippers. It would be good to, you know, who doesn't want a strong grip? So, I mean, it wasn't, I do not so much anymore, but where I work, it's a fairly manual job. So grip is fairly important. But I mean, there wasn't any set goal in mind buying the grippers. I think it was more or less just something that I could do whilst relaxing at home and just sitting on the sofa and watching YouTube and stuff, just having some grippers for a bit.
Gotcha. Nice. And what do you, if you could say, what do you do for a living? Because I always see your bends, which I think are at work, which just cracks me up, like picturing you bending on your lunch break or whatever.
Yeah. So I work for a tile manufacturer, but I drive, I used to with a friend of mine, stack the tiles manually. So they'd come down the line and they can find a robot that's smart enough to stack the type of tiles that we make. So we would be at the bottom, we'd be stacking these tiles like manually, which actually I probably prefer to go back to, because it's really good and you get a good sweat on and it's just constant. It's just manual labor.
Yeah.
But at the moment I'm driving a forklift inside the curing chamber. So we've got these big sort of curing chambers. That's why it's probably where most of my videos are filmed. That's why I look slightly industrial and
yeah, they look cool. I think the backdrop looks cool. It definitely looks very industrial. It's like So did you play sports and stuff growing up? Were you always just like fairly physical or?
No, I didn't really. The only sport I really enjoyed was badminton at school. I mean, I played a little bit of rugby. Really didn't get into the team sports and stuff as a kid. Yeah. Big rollerblader growing up. Me and some friends we'd all go out with our blades and we'd go to Newport, which is in Wales in the UK, and we'd get a train out there. We'd skate at the park and then we'd go and we'd swim and stuff at like, so we'd have like really active weekends, lots of rollerblading, lots of swimming and cool. stuff like that. And then that sort of stopped. And then I went to college and I studied gamekeeping, like an agricultural job. So, I remember the same sort of feeling, like from getting home skating, you'd sit down and you almost feel like the blood is rushing back to your legs because you've been on your feet all day.
Yeah.
And I loved that feeling. And I think it was quite similar to the gamekeeping. It was like this, we would carry huge buckets of water up to the woods for the pheasants and stuff like that. And we'd like bags of grain over the shoulders, and the gamekeeper that I was studying under was really muscular. He was a doorman, but I remember at college we would have like, he would have push-up competitions with me and dip competitions. Nice. And we'd wrestle and like muck around and stuff like that. So it's all quite physical, and I've never really shied away from physical work. I really enjoy the feeling of getting home and really just being dead out on the sofa afterwards. There's nothing comparable to that for me. But I didn't decide to go down that job route. So moving into like more of a town area, I didn't have any of that physicality anymore. So I think that's when I started going to the gym, and it was almost just looking to replace that feeling of I'm tired and I've done something, so I can now relax.
Yeah, I can totally relate, because, you know, said on many episodes, grew up totally being obsessed with skateboarding. And actually, the reason I moved up kind of to the country here in New York, if you believe there's country in New York, there is my dad worked for a horse farm, and I wound up working there from when I was a little kid, way well into my 20s, which definitely I think had something to do with like my strength base, you know, just like doing hard work on the horse farm. We didn't really tend to the animals so much. It was a large, large farm. So we were like the groundskeepers that would sort of upkeep the fence and plow the snow and, you know, mow the lawns and fix everything like that. But still similar kind of thing. And that's certainly like, I can relate to just being dead tired on the couch after the day, you know. It is a good feeling. And now I have a job where I work from home in administration, so my friends tease me about it's good that I have calluses from bending steel, because I wouldn't have any otherwise. All right, so talk to me about the progression. Obviously, I could see, you know, like the rest of the dudes could see what you were doing. It wasn't like you were just going to work your way up to a 60D and be done with steel bending. You have obviously an internal competitive nature in a positive way. You're like, I can see like week to week you're doing stuff, and I can relate to it a lot, because it's like, you know, I had the same fire last year with it, you know. That's why it was really cool to see what you've been doing and why I wanted to talk to you. So talk to me about just like how you started with that beginner's kit and how it's advanced to like where you are now, basically.
Yeah, so I think once I had the beginner's kit, I think I'd watched David Horn's introductory video that he put up on YouTube, and I'd probably watched that maybe like 5-6 times, just constantly going back and watching it. And then I think I'd Googled Steel Bending podcast, and then I just randomly came up with Beyond the Bend. I was like, okay, this is just, because I honestly put it into Google thinking there was no chance that there was going to be a podcast for steel bending. I thought this is far too niche. And then there was like, say, I don't know, at the time, maybe 15, 20 episodes that I could go through. And I just started going through them all. So I was exceptionally lucky to have that podcast. And I'd messaged some people back, one of which was Dan Dring.
Yes.
And I just shot him a message and said, thanks, something along the lines of thanks for the content, because it was really helpful. And then he replies back with like, you know, anything I can do to help, just let me know. And he's sort of asking me to send him videos of like my form and encouraging me to film myself. Because before that, I'm quite an introverted person, and I found it really uncomfortable having to film myself for the first time. So that was pretty awkward, but I mean, Dan encouraged me to do it. And then after doing that, I could see the benefits of doing that, because then I could look at other videos and think, well, what was I doing here that enabled me to do it? And what did I do wrong, etc. But Dan's been a real, I don't know, I can't really sing the guy's praises enough, to be honest. I mean, he's, especially considering his skill level, I was quite shocked at how much time he had for me. I felt very lucky to have his guidance, because looking at the stuff, and obviously I didn't really have a proper understanding of what he'd achieved, because I was so low level. And then as soon as I bent a red nail brace, I was like, oh no, like that, like I can really see what he snapped one in like just over 30 seconds or whatever. So it's like, the longer I was with it, the more appreciation I could have for the skill that he has. But yeah, he invited me to the steel shredder group so I could see everybody else's bends and stuff. He invited me to a group of small people where he would like set us like a weekly challenge and say, cool, you know, snap a nail on in like a stood on your head or, you know, with blindfolded or something like that. So it was like this constant sort of evolving, constant, just like, okay, now you've done that, now do this, now all snap right. it, or, you know, so there was that, and obviously getting to see everybody's and listen to everybody's like steel bending stuff, steel shredder and the podcast, it's that sort of really projected me. And then I would just obsess basically about the podcast and just sort of I'd go back and listen to the same episode again and again, and sort of just like every day it was like, right, I get to work, get in the cab, stick a podcast on, and then I ended up taking bundles of steel to work, and it just become quite obsessive, really, like probably too obsessive, where I was bending probably too much, but because I was new, it felt like I could get away with it, and I was just trying to grease the groove, if you like. So it just kind of went from there, really. You know, any questions I was lucky to have Dan to sort of shoot a message, and he'd always get back to me straight away and sort of put me straight. So and in terms of like my progression, I don't really think I had a set goal. I wasn't really aiming to bend the red nail double overhand. I was just so fascinated with all of it. There was just and especially listening to the guys on the podcast, you'd get one guy that specifically loves shoes, and then you'd get one guy that specifically like long bars or mid-length bars and stuff. So I just wanted to try all of it. And at the start, I was just trying to figure out what I could do. So it worked out really well for me, but I think it gets to like Monday and I go, right, well, what do I want to do the most? So I'll do some reverse. And then by Wednesday, I'd be like, well, what can I do now? I'll do double overhand or I'll do braced. And then Friday, I'll snap. So it was almost like I've never really been good at writing a program out necessarily or following a program. But in terms of gym stuff, I've been quite good at just listening to my body. And it, with the steel bending, I could hammer something to the point where I couldn't do it anymore, but then I could just pick up a horseshoe instead or find something to fit that spot. So I think it went like that for months, really. It was just like, if I could get the workout in, or if I could do something, and then I would definitely do it. It wasn't until really when I started, now I've started getting into slightly bigger stuff, or almost max effort stuff, I can't afford, it doesn't feel like I'm able really to do that every day.
No, you really can't. And I totally relate to what you're saying. Like early on, I was just like kind of stunned by the way some people would hammer one style so hard to where they maybe got injured or got bored of it or whatever. And I'm looking at bending as this like multifaceted thing, and then you throw snapping into it, and you know, all the crazy things that David has on his grip feet page of, you know, head harnesses and neck bridges and everything else. It's like, this is an endless well of like physical challenges for yourself, you know? And it's like, if you are staying away from that max effort territory, you can't get away with knocking out a bunch in a week and stuff, which is just so fun. And I'm grateful that we have all these different styles. And to speak on, it's like, it's also in my own experience, you talked to me last year this time, I would have been like, nah, I'll never do reverse. It sucks. It hurts my wrist. It's like, I hate it. I'm bad at it. You know, it's like, now this is like, feels like a style I'm succeeding in and progressing in. And it's kind of cool to not ever, I don't think anyone should ever count a style out. You know what I mean? Cause the time you stay with it long enough, you'll probably experiment with it and you'll probably have some success and bring some, get some joy out of it. You know, it's like, so I like that. And that's another reason why I was like, I wanted to speak to you, because clearly you were game to do every style. You know, it's like, it's cool to be a specialist, but I also think like, it's interesting to talk to the generalists, when it comes to stuff. And, Dan's the man, obviously. And, shout out to Dan for just getting his purple belt in jiu-jitsu. It's an amazing accomplishment. And I'm sure there's a bunch of purple and blue belts relieved that he just leveled up. But all right. So clearly you caught the bug. Talk about specifically like you know, everybody knows that's done it, but the people that don't is talk about the feeling you got from bending, you know, like what got you so addicted to it right away?
Oh, I think it was the all of the different avenues that I could go down, which fascinated me. I think it was, like you said, all of the different styles. It wasn't just double overhand, and it wasn't like this is the only way to bend a nail. It was like you could go down all of these different routes. And I know you've mentioned it before, and it's I feel the same way about like the jiu-jitsu, and I think you might have mentioned it in regards to jiu-jitsu and the bending, is that it's kind of infinite. You can take solace in the fact that you're not going to be an expert, because there will always be somebody better in a different area than you, and it's kind of quite comforting in a way that you can just, you don't have to rush, you can just take your time and go down these different avenues. But yeah, I mean, the feeling, especially, I mean, all of the styles feel great, I think, to bend the steel, but like the max, when you're really squeezing something braced and you're putting everything into it, and you're squeezing as hard as you can, you're really holding that hit, and you don't think it's going to go, and then it moves like a few mil or like 5 mil, and it's like I feel something dramatically change in my mindset in that moment, and it just feels like then it pushes me to get after it again, and it's like, no, it's given in, and then I just chase it again, and that 10.9 felt like that. And I felt like that the first time I brace bent two grade 5 bolts. Yeah. It was the pain was unbelievable, and it almost feels like just the moment you're going to give up, it gives a little bit, and it sort of, you're constantly getting that reassurance. And you know, with the spiral nail that I couldn't bend, it was it felt impossible at the time, and the more time you put into it and the more effort you give it, it will, and the mindset you bring to it too. Like I'm not a pessimist, but you know, sort of try not to set myself up to fail, but you know, it's a weird feeling trying something that you think isn't possible, but it is. Like, and the longer you stay with it, you prove that to yourself. So it's a constant flow of like reassurance and proving to yourself physically that you're able to do something that you previously thought that you weren't able to do. And I think that is a really addictive feeling for sure. Yeah.
You just said something actually that I hadn't thought about before, but it kind of explains why I think steel bending, like in particular, people get really obsessed with, is because say we're talking about a max effort grip feet, you know, PR bend, whatever, we're just gonna pick it up and put it down, and that's gonna be it, right? It's gonna feel great, you're gonna be psyched. If we videotape it, we can relive it and be psyched for a couple days, whatever. But steel bending is so unique in that, just like you said about the 10.9, you're gonna go with everything you got, and it's going to move a little bit, and then you have to do it again, and then it's going to move a little bit. So we get like this kind of prolonged dose of endorphins or whatever, because we have to complete the feat. We have to go to that place a bunch of times, right? And it's going to maybe take like 10 minutes or something like that, you know, maybe 5 only, but still it's longer and it's more drawn out than just like a max effort PR squat or something like that. And I hadn't thought about that till now, but that kind of explains, I think, why, like, even a big double overhand bend, it's still going to be a few hits and you're still going to be like, yes, 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 like every hit.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a prolonged experience, different from than just like a single lift, right? So I think that maybe why, like, I hadn't thought about that till now, but that kind of explains, I think, why people are just like, get so deeply into this. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I suppose it's almost like the equivalent of trying to do a deadlift and you get it 2 inches off the floor and then you can let go and it doesn't drop.
Right.
It's just sort of like, yeah, it's a constant fight. And if you've moved it, it's like that you get like this positive, you know, it's a positive rush that you've sort of managed to move it at all. And you feel like, right, okay, I'm getting the better of it. And it's not going to bend back unless it's, I guess, I know some bolts are super springy, but you know, it's as if it's bent, it's not going to go back to where it was. So you've got more opportunities, I suppose, to set it down and not touch it again, or you've got more opportunities to keep fighting. And like, it's a bit more of a fight because like you say, it sort of doesn't want to give up straight away. It's not just a clear defined, unless it's easy stock, but if it's like a PR bend, it's gonna keep fighting you and almost test your resolve, I suppose, if you like. Right. So yeah, definitely. It's extremely unique like that. And I spent a good few years lifting weights, and I do love weights, but since finding steel bending, I haven't had really the only interest of going back to lifting weights is to be better at steel bending, because it's like, you know, something I can focus my time into and be strong for something, opposed to, because before I was very much just sort of wading through my gym life. You know, I didn't have a sport, I didn't have like a real purpose other than the feelings or the endorphins it gave me afterwards, and feeling like, right, I've done my bit today and now I can sit down and relax.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it is completely different. And I would say to anybody that is interested in strength or enjoys the gym, you should definitely try at least once to bend a nail to see how you enjoy it.
For sure. And as we're talking about it, I'm actually thinking about stone lifting being sort of like the midway point between steel bending and like regular lifting, say. And I know obviously a lot of people that we know, you know, that are steel benders also get into the stone lifting. And that kind of makes sense too, because when you think about a PR stone lift or whatever, it's segmented up into like, can I break it from the ground? Can I get it to my lap? Can I stand up with it? And if it's, you know, if it's not like something massive, can I roll it up and get it to my shoulder? So it's like, here, there are these goalposts within the goal that like give you that, just prolong it a little bit. So I think that's, and maybe I'm just such a novice lifter that people could listen to this and be like, what are you talking about? And they're like, I could break down a traditional lift into, you know, five different segments but it doesn't feel that way. So, so you spoke about how often you were hitting it in the beginning. Now you sort of evolved and you're taking down some bigger stuff. So what's the training frequency look like these days? And what's your training looking like, including any other lifting if you're doing any of these days?
So yeah, I've not been completely organized recently. Not that I ever usually am, but I mean, I recently started, as you know, I started jiu-jitsu lessons. So I've been trying not to leave myself burnt out for those, just to be able to be able to commit and give 100% in lesson. I think once I'm set, and I am pretty comfortable at the moment, once I finish my beginner's course, if you like, I can bump it up to 3 lessons a week. So as soon as I'm set with that, I will then start to implement weight training potentially around and for the jiu-jitsu. And the steel bending sort of just been fitting around the jiu-jitsu training at the moment. And I will very much just pick what I feel like doing that day and almost try to look back and think, what did I do previously? And you know, I wouldn't, like, I'm quite bad at just chasing after something. So I would hit like a PR bend one day, and then I'll say on the Monday, and on the Wednesday I'm trying to replicate it, which I've managed to get out of, but I've been, you know, up until quite recently, I'm still quite bad at doing that. And I forget, you know, you wouldn't hit a PR bend in the deadlift on a Monday and then necessarily try and replicate that Wednesday. you'd need time to recover. So I try to make sure if I've gone heavy, if I've got the stock around, I'll try to do volume, but I haven't touched volume for a long time in terms of steel bending. It will just be, so like usually a Saturday and a Sunday I'm relaxing and I'm resting, and then a Monday, partly because I feel like I've eaten a lot of junk, so I probably got a lot of insulin, my insulin stores are very well topped, so I'll go after something Monday, which is quite hard for me, and then I'll see how I feel. It's usually like I'll try and go a heavy bending day on a Monday and a heavy bending day on a Friday and save them for like the start of the week and the end of the week. I don't know, really know why that is. It will usually, those will usually be two different styles. So it will be, usually I'll try to do either, depending on what my goal is, it will be like a heavy brace bending on a Monday. And then if I'm feeling good enough for it, I'll try to do a heavy reverse session on a Friday, or it'll alternate, or I might switch it out for something like double underhand, depending really on how I'm feeling and how fresh I'm feeling. I'd probably try and do a couple of bends on lighter stuff, and then mentally try to get, or physically try and gauge how I feel from doing that, and then if I feel like I'm capable of pushing it, I'll push it. If I won't, then I'll just leave it there, and then I'll try maybe a different style, or I'll wait another day or two until I'm feeling a little bit more rested.
Yeah.
But usually it's just really depending on how like I feel and what's going to make me feel good. I think the Monday and Friday work for me, because if I tend to do better on the Monday, and that will really set me up for the week at work. Yeah. And I'll feel great, you know, Monday will be amazing. And then same likewise with Friday, I'll end the week off really well. And then I can get into the weekend and I feel great over the weekend, because I'm sort of sat thinking about what I accomplished on the Friday. Yeah. But yeah, I sort of try to listen to my body, and I think, oh, if my legs feel quite fresh at the moment, my lower back feels quite fresh, maybe I should do something about that. And then recently I'd find a stone and try and lift a stone, or, you know, do something just to sort of keep that body part sort of like, comfortably fatigued, you know, rather than sort of ignoring it for like 2-3 months and not doing any leg work or any back work. I just try to throw in casually, which is a lot different to what I used to be like when I was training gym. It was very much like 5-6 days a week.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of more motivating myself to go out there and do 1 day a week or 2 days a week sort of lifting. But it is much really more to do with the fun that I'm having from doing the lifts. Like I started doing the Saxon presses and some slightly odd lifts, just simply just because I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
And I think that has already been a catalyst. Equally with the stones, I wouldn't have really taken an interest or got to have that insight to it if it wasn't really for the steel bending and David Horn's steel shredder page. So I'm really grateful for that. And it is to me, I mean, I'm not hating, I love lifting weights and I love gym, going to the gym, but in comparison now, it seems far more fun to lift stones to me rather than go and do like a, you know, work, sit on machines at a gym and just sort of bump out reps, because it doesn't seem to have a lot of carryover. I mean, I hope to get into some sandbags and a little bit more stone lifting simply because of the jujitsu. I try to, if I do lift weights, I try to cater it around the bending, you know, maybe try to work on more traps or more shoulders, or when I've gone to the gym, I've done some squeeze. Yeah, I can't remember what, I don't know if it's not the abductor machine, but where you bring your knees in together and squeeze. For those inner muscles. So it just feels really good now to have almost like a set goal or something to train for, rather than just ambling around and just sort of doing like body part splits for no real good reason. So,
well, it's nice to have, like, I think we're lucky in the sense, and you'll get this from jiu-jitsu as well, but it's like to have the feet or the test, you know, it's like, I can't imagine, just going through life training for nothing, basically. I mean, it's like cool to be strong or cool to look good or whatever, but it's like to not have that test, which could be a bend, could be a competition of some sort, you know, it could be a stone lift, whatever, where you're applying all the training that you've been doing. Like, that's tough, you know. It's like, I feel like that's like what we all live for, you know. Sometimes we overdo it, of course, doing it too much, but it's nice to have that moment where we're actually testing the stuff that we're training all the time, you know. And I think that kind of, for at least me personally, go back to skateboarding, you know. It's like I would skate and skate and skate so I could do the trick, right? The trick was kind of the test, you know, and I'd be missing the trick all day long so I could eventually achieve the trick, you know. And it's like, so if there's like, I guess, like, you know, it feels really good to PR in the gym and stuff like that. I guess in a sense that is a test and a feat, but it's applying your strength to something outside of the training methodology is pretty cool, I think. Meaning like you can be strong and then apply it to a bend or a stone lift or whatever. And definitely, like, I recommend people do that. And even if it's just like jump into some type of competition, you know, it's like, it's a really good way to stay motivated. And what you said actually about lifting weights for jujitsu, don't overdo that too much. Just like your general level of strength is probably good enough in the beginning. There's not anything you're going to be able to do in the gym that's going to improve your performance on the mat drastically in the beginning. All you can really do is, like, if you had a choice of going to the gym or going to jiu-jitsu, just go to jiu-jitsu, because the technical aspect of stuff and just simply being on the mat with other people is like the only thing that will, like, get you good fast. And it's like, if there's limited time factors and stuff like that, then I'll tell people to sort of, you know, you can do this or that for maybe a little edge in training. But the best thing you can do when you start to do jujitsu is do as much jujitsu as you possibly can, where you can physically withstand it. Basically, it's just like, yeah, that is one of those things where you have to do the thing so much to get good at the thing.
I think maybe it's like similar, like you've said on, or people of your guests have said on the podcast before, is that to be good at steel bending, you need to do more steel bending.
Yeah.
Although, so I definitely get that, you know, you've got to. And I mean, my quads and my legs and stuff after rolling, even just light rolling, they're killing for like the next couple of days. And the different pains and strains and stuff, I'm quite comfortable at the moment. I don't really feel the need to throw in a load of gym work to sort of, I get exactly what you mean. And I think if you, the reason, I've done well, or like have been able to do well with the steel bending, is because I kind of fell in love with it and I did it relentlessly. I didn't look to do anything else. I just wanted to bend steel as soon as I found it. And with coming from that, you know, it just, the more you can get it in because you're enjoying it, you're not forcing yourself to go and it's not arduous. You're just doing it purely because you enjoy it. You're just recruiting all of those hours of experience and it just gets better and better after time.
Yep, yeah. Totally. And I want to put a little asterisk onto what I've said in other episodes about when you want to get good at steel bending, just steel bend. I'd say maybe that's good for the first 6 months to a year, because personally, as of recently, what I've been doing is just squatting, bench pressing, and deadlifting, and with getting ready for this thing I'm going to compete in. And before that, it was strongman, and I haven't been doing a ton of steel bending, but when I do bend, it's going really, really well. So I think that could be a case of just getting stronger in a general way and being my CNS being rested from the max effort bends. So really I'm only bending like once a week, probably more like once every other week, and it's going really good for me. So I think once you reach a certain level, or maybe just this was my personal journey with it, is like you gotta then dial it way, 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 way back. And just like maybe let your strength catch up or something. I don't know. Like, so it's, I wouldn't, for me right now, it's a different story than just bend more steel to get better at bending steel. It seems to be working well is getting stronger in a general sense and bending every so often. And it seems like it's working out pretty well, which is just different than I've said before. So I want to clear that up.
No, that's cool. I think that just it, as time changes, you know, your opinions will change the more experience you pick up. And yeah, definitely. And I agree with you. I think the days where I've been forced to not steel bend, or I've had other things on, you know, and I've gone, say, 10 days, almost 2 weeks in between bends, I completely agree. I feel insanely strong. Yeah. And if you were to try to replicate what you did before and you think, oh, I can do that next week, it hasn't always been the case for me personally. And I've sort of, you can get quite down, but you know, you're just clearly not quite rested enough. And maybe, like you say, you should be doing some other things like general strength work, give your CNS a bit of a rest. Don't push it too hard. Give your tendons and ligaments a bit of a rest, and then go at it when you're fully fresh. And then for me, like you say, and for you, you know, it's, you can see a huge difference with a good amount of rest.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah, it's tough because it's so damn fun, but it's like, it's a real drag when, you know, in the cases where I've missed something twice in a row or something like that, that's pretty crushing, honestly. Like, I haven't attempted it recently, but the 12.9 at 6 inches, I failed that a bunch of times. I haven't tried it again. I just had to put it down for a while because that thing just beat me so many times, and it was making me so frustrated, you know. And it's like, now I think it's, you know, it's not even, I mean, it's an impressive feat, but I think Wigren got it down to like 5 or something insane. So maybe
5.5 or something. It was really, yeah, ridiculously small. Insane. That's insane.
Yeah. But all right. So we're going to start wrapping this thing up. We're going to try something new, a new portion of the medley. So when I say a topic, you tell me the first word that comes to mind. All right.
Okay.
All right. Stainless steel.
Nails.
Horseshoes.
Braced.
Double wraps.
Max effort lift. Max effort bend. PR bend.
Snapping.
Calluses.
Curls.
Curls. Squat rack.
Pineapple on pizza.
Oh, for the win.
Facebook.
Steel shredder.
And wearing sandals with jeans.
Fashion.
All right. What's one thing outside, and these can be regular answers. What's one something outside of steel bending and strength training that you enjoy?
Quality time with my partner and my dog.
Awesome. All right. What's the bend that you're most proud of to date? What's your best bend in your opinion?
Although it wasn't filmed and it took me, you know, almost 20 minutes to complete, it's the 10.9 for sure, 5.5 braced.
Awesome. What's the one bend that's gotten away so far?
I was lucky enough to be gifted some of Chuck and a Canucks moose bars.
Oh, awesome.
And I gave one a go, double overhand, shortly after I did the red, and that's a different beast. it's got a kink in it, but I'm using it as an ISO bar at the moment for when I don't train double overhand. I only really do it when I don't have anything else to do and I'm tired from other things, and maybe I might try some double overhand. But yeah, that at the moment, I would have said it was the 4.8 reverse, but I just managed to do that before coming on the podcast.
Nice.
So yeah, it's the Moose Bar for sure.
Right on. Josh will be happy to hear it. All right, who's the strongest person you know?
He's going to cringe at this, but I mean, it's got to be Dan. I mean, that guy is a beast. So, I mean, I really hope I get to roll with him one day. I'm going to regret saying that, but
yeah, you might regret that. I was going to say,
yeah, I mean, for sure. I know it, but yeah, he's fierce. I think he is fiercely strong to do what he's done. And, you know, he's really excelled in a lot of the things he's put his mind to. So I think, yeah, that's one strong dude.
Have you guys been able to meet up in person yet or no?
Not yet. Okay. I'm hoping to get down to him soon and hopefully do a day with him, or hopefully bend some steel or roll on the mats. But I might need a little bit more experience before I get on the mats with him. But
nah. All right. Best piece of advice you were ever given.
I mean, it's not really steel related, but
no, it can be anything.
My granddad used to say to my dad, and my dad now says to me, it's better to be late in this life than early in the next.
Oh.
In regards to speeding. So yeah, that's some pretty solid advice.
Yeah, I like that. That could be applied in all kinds of ways. All right. And what's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spend your time bending steel? Maybe someone on the job site.
excuse me. I mean, I don't really tell an awful lot of people about it. I haven't had too many. Apart from the obvious, you know, why are you doing that? I haven't really had many like weird. I've had a hell of a lot of positive experience, like positive reactions from people about it. A lot of friends and my partner and also my dad. My dad comes from a farming background. And for my birthday, he ordered me a box of horseshoes. Nice. And I haven't been able to heart them yet, but I've put a good S bend in them. And cool. The others that I've been gifted by Dan, the horseshoes I've hearted and shown him videos. And much to my embarrassment, he whips out his phone and shows everybody the bends that I've done and stuff, which is really nice, to be honest. I've had some really positive reactions from people, but no, I'm sure if I put it about a little bit more, I'd probably have some funny reactions from people.
Have you had your dad try any bending? Has he?
I haven't. I've offered, but he's like, no, I wouldn't be able to do that. But no, I should do really. I should sort of put together some stock for him and give him maybe this Christmas, give him a bundle and let him have a go. Because surprisingly, he's a strong guy, so I'm sure. he could manage some stuff.
Yeah, anyone that'll sit down long enough, I usually probably try to push a bend on him. Anyone that comes to the house,
nice,
including my 10-year-old's friends. Everybody does a bend before they leave. It seems like.
Like an initiation.
Yeah, exactly. All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show if you have any suggestions outside of the people I've had?
Definitely Marty, I think, would be good. I think, I don't know, did he say that he wanted to come on? Marty Gripaconda. I don't want to butcher his surname.
Bulldog Marty, the fucking goat.
Bulldog Marty.
I'm talking to him. He's coming on. He'll probably be the next guest.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, I'd love to see Marty on.
Hell
no, I think that's it.
That's a good one. That's coming. All right. You have any tips or advice for people starting out that are newer than you?
Listen to Beyond the Bend podcast.
Yeah.
give the advice that I've been given by everybody else, really. And that's, I mean, listening to the podcast would be great. You know, getting a small group of you in a chat group would be amazing, because for me, it was good for me to sort of, to be able to show each other the bends we did and push each other on and film your bends. And probably one that's worked a lot for me is just hold your hips longer. I know that's probably been said a lot, but don't, and like Elizabeth said to me, don't believe you can't do it. You know, really, it's one of those things that you can allow yourself to, like, because you've mentioned before, like the pain governor will kick in. So you can really push and give it your best shot and come away relatively unscathed. I mean, you might have some sore hands, but you can deal with that. I just really believe you can do it, and push as long as hard as you can, and don't give up. Don't give up, you know, because next time it will probably go, and if not, it won't, it'll go the next time. So
yeah. All right. And if people want to reach out to chat with you, where can they find you?
I'm sure if you just put Tom Morris in Instagram, it will probably come up with my name.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, Tom, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. I'm glad we got to do this.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me on.
Right on. I will. This will come out today. I'm going to just post this right after we're done. So keep your eye out, and I'll talk to you soon, man. Have a good day.
Thank you, man. Cheers, Cody. Thanks for having me on.